So here I am this morning. After that, and I started thinking of what I would say and how I would say it, I decided to trust God. I would trust him that he would give me a message, for I knew there are many things about tomorrow I just don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. You see, several weeks ago, Jameel Daniels, David Williams, and myself met and decided that the theme of our communion service, which will be held on Tuesday, April 7th, would be reconciliation. We were divinely impressed that in the current atmosphere of increasing tension, there's a real need and a great opportunity for reconciliation in our seminary, beginning with professors and seminarians. So I prayed, and God blessed me with the idea to have the eat and greet evenings that are starting next Tuesday evening, and I'm sure you've received emails about them. And I hope you will make an effort to come out, because the professors have promised to make an effort to be there. We'll provide some nice snacks, and we'll be able to talk and just relate in a way that we have not done before. And we want to do this so that we can begin again to practice what we preach, especially from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Especially 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we read in verse 16, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." Of course, I'm sure you can hear it in my voice that I'm nervous. And I still feel like Leah, the night she found herself in the bridal bed in place of her sister. I'm sure she was giddy with excitement, as I was earlier. And then, in the morning light, she began to fear the outcome when she would meet her sister, as I do right now. But I won't worry about tomorrow. I'll just live from day to day. I won't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies, as you well know, may turn to gray. I won't worry about the future, for I know Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And he alone knows what lies ahead. So this morning, instead of an ambassador who is an official diplomat of our nation, I come confident that I am an ambassador of Christ among ambassadors of the highest rank, such as yourselves, who are called and sent by our sovereign Savior to, and I'm here to talk with you, not to you, but with you, about reconciliation. As you well know, there can be no real reconciliation without authentic confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And as such, I want to start by asking you a question that I hope you will answer honestly in your own hearts and minds. And if you're moved by the Spirit to shout out the answer, it's still okay with me. My question is this: have you ever wondered or asked anyone this question? Is my professor an alien? What I mean is my professor a creature from outer space? An extraterrestrial visitor from another planet? Because he or she just doesn't seem to understand me. From what I hear, When I wander these hallowed halls, some of us professors don't seem to speak your language or understand your feelings. Although some like me graduated from this seminary, sat where you are sitting, complained about being required to attend worship, and struggled with the biblical languages except for those few brainiacs. Yet, we don't seem to get you. When we pass you in the hallways without so much as a hello or how are you, it seems as if we've forgotten that we were once captives in this contrived community. So, can I talk? Can I talk real with you? Because there is no reconciliation without repentance, confession, and forgiveness. So, do you think that some or all of us professors are aliens? Whether or not, whether you have or not, thank you, not all. Whether you have or not, let me answer with a resounding yes, we are aliens. We are aliens, and so are you. And if you're not, you're in need of Jesus Christ and his converting power. We are aliens, and this is our Bible. It is the inspired word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, our only rule of faith and life-changing guide for daily living. In it is wisdom unquestionable, instructions inexhaustible, and principles irreducible. These principles safeguard us in trials and lead us to triumphs. Therefore, as aliens, we study it earnestly, we practice it faithfully, and we share its contents fervently. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 13, in which we are not only called aliens, strangers with a living hope, sojourning alongside hopeless natives, but we are given three important commands to lead us to reconciliation. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version, with amplification, my own amplification. It begins, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, you can't get any better credentials for what he's about to say, written in the indicative mood as a testimony of his authority. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, we could say, as aliens scattered from A to Z, from Australia to Zambia, all represented in this very room. He writes, not only are we residing as aliens, but we are chosen by none other than all three members of the Godhead. Don't miss this. Some people live as though they're chosen only by Jesus Christ, and others speak as if they're chosen only by the Holy Spirit. But we know that we are aliens chosen by God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. And Peter says it so in verse 2. He says, we're chosen according to the knowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. And then he adds, may grace, which Donald Barnhouse said is an acronym for God's righteousness at Christ's expense. May grace and peace, the one that passes all understanding, be yours in the fullest measure. Not in a small measure, but in a filled up, pressed down, and brimming over measure. And I am here to testify that we do not have that peace yet. But it's knocking on the door. And all we've got to do is open that door. And peace will come in and sup with us and live with us and abide with us. So how do we experience the fullness of this peace? Peter wrote the first 12 verses in the indicative mood, as I've suggested, and then he gives us directives in the imperative mood. You know that these are commands, and there are three commands in verse 13. Look with me to verse 13. He wrote, therefore, in view of everything that precedes what I'm about to say, number one command, prepare your minds for action. You know, this in the Greek could be interpreted as gird your mind or gather up your mind. And Peter knew about girding more than anyone else. Peter, where Paul was a guy who loved sports, Peter was a man who loved to dress. How do I know that? Because in his last testimony to Peter, Jesus said to him, there's going to come a time when you won't be able to gird or dress yourself. Somebody is going to have to do it for you. And you only say that to somebody who takes a lot of time dressing themselves. So, Peter uses the same phrase that Jesus used. He said, you see, Peter used to wear those long garments, put a cummerbund around it, and then pull up the garment so that he wouldn't trip if he ran. And he's saying here that our minds have gotten so loosey-goosey that we need the cummerbund of Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and pull up those garments that are overflowing into racial discontent, into gender misogynistic behavior, into moral, immoral activities. All of these things where the garments are dragging on the floor that prevents us from being reconciled with one another. Peter says, prepare your mind, gird up your mind, because the action that I'm asking you to begin to be ready for is reconciliation. And reconciliation is work. There's no easy pie in the sky reconciliation. Somebody's got to put away. Reconciliation is not compromise. You will not find the word compromise in the Bible, because compromise always ends with someone giving up something they don't want to give up, but they do it anyway. But reconciliation is when two parties agree to agree and agree. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. We're serious in this place about reconciliation. This is our seminary. This is God's seminary. This is the place where God called all of you as his ambassadors to come and learn. And we have a responsibility to be reconciled with you. And I want to begin this hard work of reconciliation with an apology on behalf of my professors and my colleagues. I am sorry. I am really sorry. In the way I have neglected you, with words that have hurt you, with attitudes that you may have misunderstood and misread, I apologize. The second command is keep sober. One more thing about that first command. You see, we can only be reconciled if we do what 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, that we no longer recognize each other in the flesh. And let me just say this plain. White people are not the only prejudiced people I know. Some of us black people need to get a life, an eternal life, and put away the hurts that we have suffered. Because there's no generation on earth who has not suffered hurt and pain because of the presence of sin. This is our seminary, and we need to make it a place where people say God dwells in that place. And in order to do that, we must follow the second command. Keep sober in spirit. And Paul isn't talking about sobriety from alcohol. He talks about that in Peter. He's talking about the kind of spiritual sobriety that we're not walking around tripping over our doctrinal garments that we refuse to pull up under the cummerbund of truth. And in order for us to do that, we have to recognize what is said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. You know, we like to read this, and sometimes we miss the point that Paul was saying. You see, the old creature has only one nature, a sinful nature. But the new creature has two natures, the sinful nature, the carnal nature, and the divine nature, and you know how they wrestle together. And when we are called as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the wrestling is more powerful than when we are not. And as a result, one day we speak with the tongues of angels, and the next day we curse with the tongues of men. So Peter says, in order to prevent that, we must keep sober. Sobriety where doctrines are concerned. You know, not everybody understands or agrees to everything we believe. I don't even agree to some things I believe. And I'm fighting within myself constantly. We need to give room to our brothers and sisters with whom we're reconciled to wrestle through their own ideas and doctrines to come to an understanding that God has called them to share. The third one, and I'm watching the time, the third command is to fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope like crazy glue fixes a broken thing and it cannot be pulled apart. You know, when I was a student in the seminary, my last semester, one of my professors gave me a B on my final exam. And I had gotten A's in his class all the time. And on the paper that he returned to me was read okay, okay on everything that I wrote. And I didn't understand how I could be okay on everything and get a B. And I went to him, was the second professor in my life that I've ever asked about a grade. But I was concerned, and I went to him and I asked him, how did I get a B with this kind of response on the paper? And he said, you really earned an A, but you can't go through life thinking that you will always get an A, so I gave you a B. And I was so angry that I went and I reported him to the chair of his department. And the chair had a meeting with both of us. And that professor said in front of the chair, when Hiveth gets down on her knees and begs me to change the grade, I will. And my response, as you well know, they don't call me the big mouth from Massachusetts for nothing. I said at that time, there's not enough air in this room or this earth for you to breathe long enough for me to get down on my knees. I'll take the B. And I left this seminary angry with that professor. I went to camp meetings, and we were both on the same schedule, and he would say hello to me, and I would not answer. And I kept him in my heart, angry and hating him for years. And it even prevented me from accepting positions that I was offered at the seminary because I would not be in the same place with him. And one of the times when I talked to him, he couldn't even remember. And here I was walking around for years with a huge stone that was making me walk bent over. It wasn't until five, almost 6 years ago, when I came to South Bend. He was in the South Bend airport when I came to talk about this position that I hold. And I saw him and I began to dodge. I don't want to talk to him. And he came over to me and he said, Hiveth, I hear that you are going to take this position, and I really think you are just right for it. And I thought, I could kill you right now, you're telling me. I was so angry with him, and I wanted to say something that would hurt him, but I couldn't think of anything. And so I just walked away with my lump in my gut. And on the way here, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, how can you go and teach my people how to preach my love when you're so filled with hatred? I want you to know that I waited in the car and watched every car to see which car he was going to come in, and followed him and apologized. And I got down on my knees and I said, I'm sorry. I want to be reconciled with you. I want to know you as my brother in Christ. I don't want any one of you to leave here with that kind of feeling inside of you. It corrodes your ministry. It spills over into your family. It pollutes everything around you. So, I ask you, will you join me and the others in the coming days and weeks to be reconciled with each other as we are with God. Will you? If you will, then stand with me. Just reach out and take somebody's hand. And let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so sorry. We are aliens and we're trying to live like natives. And when we do, we hurt one another. So we're asking you to forgive us. We know we are reconciled with God. We know that. But we want to extend it to ourselves and to each other. And so we ask you to do your ministry of reconciliation in us today and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' everlasting name. Amen. May God bless you.